Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. We'll read verses 12 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how they go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. And let's finish on verse 18 together. Ready? By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in this place. We sure do love you. Father, you've been so good to us here tonight in your presence. Father, please do what only you can do. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through our preacher and our hearts and our lives. We sure do love you. Father, please fill us with your power to listen so we could go out and change this world, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I announced to you the sermon's title. It's called Signs of Laziness. Here in Ecclesiastes, you see in verse number 18, the Bible says, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. God's talking about someone has become lazy. Much slothfulness, it says, not a little, but much slothfulness, or much laziness. A building has decayed. Why? Because of slothfulness or laziness. Someone didn't take the time to put caulking around the windows. Well, you don't do that. And then the water gets in, and then the windowsills begin to rot away. Someone didn't take the time to take the leaves out of the guttering or the eaves troughs, and so they filled up with leaves, and the water came down off the roof, and then that water gets into the soffit area, and it begins to rot it away because it was supposed to be kept dry up underneath there. Why? Somebody just didn't want to take the time to lean a ladder up against the house and take those leaves out. Somebody didn't take the time to just take their hands and very simply put that caulking around those windows to make sure they were sealed up properly. Someone did not paint the bare wood. Someone did not stain that wood, or someone did not wrap that wood in aluminum to protect it from the elements. And so we see that a building is decaying. The Bible even goes on to say that idleness of the hands had caused this. You see, somebody did not fix what was broken. When something needed repaired or kept up to date, it was not done. And so now a building is decaying. Idleness of hands caused the floors to rot through, and maybe even the roof to rot through because we're not taking care of it properly. And the Bible says that it says here, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. You take a walk through this house, and you're going to hit some soft wood and very, very easily, possibly, step and fall through. Maybe the roof is coming through and the elements are coming through the roof. Something's dropping through this house now because it has not been properly cared for. You know something? You could give a lazy person a brand new house and they will destroy it. You can give a hardworking person an old beat up house and they will increase its value. Is it the house that made the difference? No. It is the character and the work ethic of the person living in that house. are a lot of different kinds of laziness, I think. Usually, when you hear someone talk about the term being lazy, we immediately think of the laziness of our physical lack, where someone is not physically aggressive about their work. They're lazy. But wait a minute. I do believe that is a problem in our country today. We've got a lot of lazy people. They don't want to work hard physically. They don't want to work physically. But I don't think that's the only kind of laziness there is. I think there is spiritual laziness, where people do not work themselves spiritually. Oh, but I don't think that's all. I think there are a lot of, in America today, maybe the biggest laziness we deal with is emotional laziness. People that do not want to work at their emotions. We have a mental laziness. People just don't want to think. They want everything done for them. They don't want to think. That's why young people don't apply themselves at school. They don't want to think because maybe thinking is a little bit hard. Say, "Oh, Brother Owens, that class is hard." Well, you're there to learn. School is not supposed to be easy. If everything came easy, and let me tell all you teachers something. Don't you be practicing educational welfare. Don't give them all their grades. Make them work for it. They're not going to learn anything if you pass them when they don't do right. Learn. That's what we're in school to do. Oh, but there is physical laziness. There is spiritual laziness. And the third, I'm going to call it emotional, but you can tuck the mental in with that. There is emotional laziness. I think hard work includes blisters, calluses, sore muscles, strained eyes, weariness, sweat, maybe headaches, a little less sleep. You have to get physically fit to do some of it. We need to learn to work ourselves physically. We need to learn to work ourselves spiritually. Hey, what kind of spiritual workout do you get? We need to learn to work ourselves emotionally. Well, I'll tell you something. I work hard at being fit and not lazy emotionally. Emotionally, I do not let my emotions control me. I control my emotions. And some of you need to stop being so lazy emotionally. Every time you turn around, your emotions are out of control. Every time you turn around, you're throwing a fit. Emotions get the best of you. You're being lazy emotionally now. If you work at it, you can get those emotions in check. Some of you are lazy spiritually. You never do anything for God. Don't be lazy. Oh my. I've thought and thought about different illustrations about laziness. The very best one I can give you, I've got to tell on two people that I love very much. It's my wife and me. We do something some mornings when we make the bed. Do you know that you can make about 90% of the bed while you're still laying in it under the covers? She tidies her side, I tidy my side. We're straightening everything, you know, tucking everything. You get about 5 extra minutes in bed that way. Oh, can't we get lazy? I have a friend. He finally came to the point. He said, "That's it." He buys all black socks, all the same brand. He wears black socks with every color suit. He never changes because, he said, "I hate matching socks." He said, "I'd rather be uncoordinated color-wise and not have to match socks than to have to match socks." Now, I have another friend. He is a bachelor. He goes out and he buys new socks instead of laundering them. He throws them away, 7 pair a week. He said he doesn't like to take them to the laundry. I guess that's up to him. I know another couple who on more than one occasion when they don't balance their checkbook, and they don't balance their checkbook, and they don't balance their checkbook, so at the end of the year, each year, they go close down their account, they get the final balance, a week later, they start a new account rather than balancing their checkbook. I would say that tends toward the lazy side of things. You say, that's stupid. Well, it's better than not balancing it at all. Y'all know what I mean? Let me tell you how you can. I'll give you some signs of laziness. The Bible teaches a lot about it. And God wants us to be hard workers. God gave us a body, gave us a mind. God wants us to work hard. And as I talk about these, I want you to remember, it's not always just physical laziness. There's spiritual laziness. There's emotional or mental laziness. For instance, number one, a sign that you're a lazy person. Hey, and let me make something very clear. Some of you need to really listen to what I say, and some of you need to face yourself this evening. You need to face the fact that you're lazy. And you need to fix that. And that's not Brother Owen saying something to hurt you. I love you. You'll be happier if you're not so lazy. You'll get something done with your life. You know, Brother Brown, the last thing I want to do in my life is get to the point where it's time for me to pass on, to look back and say, I had not accomplished anything with my life. I want to leave something behind. I want to do something. God gave me a life, and I want to live it, and I want to squeeze everything out of it that I can. And you're not going to get that if you're lazy. Lazy people don't even have fun like they should. They're too lazy to. You have to apply yourself to have fun. And so, listen carefully and let me help you. Don't think about your wife while I preach this. Don't think about your husband. Don't think about your kids. Don't think about anybody. Think about you. You think about you, and I'll think about me. Listen, number one, a sign of laziness is if tomorrow, in regard to your responsibilities, is your favorite day. Tomorrow. You're what we call a procrastinator. Sign of laziness. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Talk about procrastinating, the paying of a bill here. Notice, tomorrow. How many of us say tomorrow? I'll get that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. Did you know that today is the tomorrow of yesterday? What physical work do you continuously put off till tomorrow, 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 tomorrow? What spiritual tasks for God have you become a repetitive procrastinator? Why do you keep putting it off? Why do you keep saying, well, I'm going to start serving God. Well, I'm going to start on that bus route. Well, I'm going to go get my CDL license so I can drive a bus. Well, I'm going to start showing up for soul winning. Well, I told them I'd come down to the church and take care of that. I'll get to that maybe tomorrow. 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 Hey, what emotional challenge have you procrastinated? Are you what we could call an emotional bum? An emotional bum? Always putting off the getting those emotions in check according to the Bible. You're going to start your diet tomorrow. You're going to fix your finances tomorrow. You're going to start scheduling dates for you and your mate tomorrow. You're going to forgive your enemy tomorrow, someday. You're going to start soul winning tomorrow. You're going to remove that bitterness that has drugged you down and weighed you down all these years tomorrow. You're going to get serious about the things of the Lord tomorrow. Procrastination is a sign of laziness. That does not mean that everybody that procrastinates a few things is necessarily an out-and-out lazy bum. But I am telling you, one of the signs of laziness is the procrastination of our duties, the procrastination of physical tasks, the procrastination of spiritual tasks, the procrastination of emotional tasks. Number two, one of the signs of being a lazy person is you have many unfinished tasks. It kind of goes along with the procrastination thing. Do you have weak character? And it shows up Are you the kind of person that if it's hard, you don't want to do it? Or here's what a lot of people do. They start something, and to start is easy. But to follow through, that's a little bit more difficult. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me tell you something about this thing of procrastination. Let me tell you something about finishing what you start. The Bible says here we could look to Jesus. Now, Jesus started. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years, a perfect sinless life. They crucified him. They put him in a grave. But I've got good news. He was not yet finished. And up out of that grave, he arose and he went to the Father, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and he is there to this very day, and he is there as our lawyer, if you will, with God, and he's always on call and always on duty. You can be guaranteed Jesus finishes what he starts. And we're to look to him. Jesus was a finisher. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head. That part of the crucifixion had been finished. That part of the story had been finished. Paul was a finisher. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." You know, folks, if you do not finish what you start, you'll be depressed with yourself. All you have to do is start looking around at a whole bunch of unfinished products, and you'll find yourself depressed. Finish what you start. Some of you need to go home this evening and write you up a list, and you face that list, and you say, "I've got these things I've started, and I am going to finish them." You started to let God have control of your life, but you keep backing off, and you won't let him finish what he started. You started to get it together emotionally. How many times you've said, "I've just got to quit acting that way." And then you throw your hands in the sky, let your emotions control you again, and you take off on that downhill slide of emotional disaster where you've fallen apart at everything. You need to finish what you start. Now, God started a work in you. He wants to finish that work in you. Let me tell you, one of the reasons we don't finish what we start is because we're lazy. We're lazy. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. You have many unfinished projects. Tomorrow, that's your favorite day, not today. Thirdly, did you know that if you're tired all the time, in some cases, that's a sign of laziness? Proverbs 19:15 says this, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep." Huh. Slothful people can be cast into a deep sleep. You know, people that don't work are more tired than the ones that do. You ever seen it? Some of you had people living around your house, wanting to go to work. All they do is lay around and sleep all the time. It's almost amazing to me. Spiritually, let me explain something. You know, people, lazy people, end up with what I'd call lazy metabolisms. It's hard on you. You almost kick your body into a coma because you're lazy. Some of you say, "I'd get a job if I wasn't so tired." You wouldn't be so tired if you get a job. You know, you take spiritually. When you don't usually serve God, a little service to God will wear you out. There are some people who serve God all the time, and they have more energy than the people who don't. Can you believe it? Actually, in some cases, now some of you say, "Brother Owens, I work hard and I'm tired." You've earned the right to be tired, but there are others who are lazy and they're tired all the time and they think, "Oh, I'm just too tired to work." No, you're too lazy to work. Hey, if you would spiritually exercise and make your emotions strong, you wouldn't always be emotionally wore out. I hear people say, "Oh, I'm just all the time emotionally wore out." Well, get off of some of the self-centered emotions and start doing something for others. Use some of the other emotions God gave you. Love somebody. Help somebody. You be patient with somebody. You go the extra mile to be good to somebody. Did you hear about the blonde sawmill worker? A sawmill worker dropped a quarter by his machine, and he bent over to pick it up and accidentally cut off his ear with a circular blade. His screaming and hollering drew a crowd of his co-workers. Together, they started searching the sawdust for his severed ear. After a minute, one of the searchers came up with an ear and handed it to the injured blond man. He exclaimed carefully, "That's not my ear." Someone said, "How do you know?" "He threw it away." "How do you know?" they said. He said, "My ear had a fountain pen behind it." You know, folks, there's something that many of the youth do not understand. People in America used to work hard at what some of you get to do that's not hard work. Oh, I'm telling you, we've become so mechanical. So many mechanisms. Some of you that push buttons and things all day, and you're just wore out and you can't take anymore. How in the world were you going to make it when back before you had an automatic gas-powered log splitter? I got broke in on a maul and an axe. And I thank God for log splitters.
Yes, sir.
I'm not against them. I wish we would have had them back when my dad was having me do it. My dad, I don't know how many acres of land we owned. You could throw a baseball from one end to the other if you had a good arm on you. But it felt like about 1,000,000 acres. We had an old beat-up saw. An old beat-up lawnmower. I'm telling you, I know we never cut the blade. I mean, never sharpened the blade. We never did. We would mow and mow and mow. About the time we'd get to the back of the lot pushing that lawnmower, the grass was high enough at the front of the lot where we had to start over. We did that over and over and over and over and over again. I remember when the last of us boys left home. You know what my dad did? That day, bought a riding lawnmower. My dad was no dummy. He might have raised a few, but my dad was no dummy. Some of you don't realize how good you've got it. And if you're complaining all the time about the kind of labor you're going through, all you need to do is go back in history, back when men were men, when everything wasn't handed to you on a silver platter, back when you worked hard, you couldn't run to your union representative because you had to sweat. "I have to sweat. That's not right." Wouldn't hurt you to work. There are some people that are tired all the time because their metabolism has been allowed to become lazy. Be careful now. There are some, indeed, you have earned the right to be tired. There are others you have not. Number 4. A sign of being lazy is that it does not bother you if someone else has to carry you. I'm not talking about physically now. Somebody else takes your share of the load. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10, it says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know what the Bible teaches? Grown, adult, capable people that will not work should not eat.
Right.
You know what we're being forced to do with most of the welfare system in America? We're forced for you and I to work to feed people who could work, but they won't.
Right.
That's unscriptural. Now, I think welfare does some good, and I think it does a lot of damage. If you're here in your own welfare, and you could work, and you won't, you're lazy. See, I don't like that. God wants you to do what's right, whether you like it or not. We're to do right. Does it not bother you if somebody else carries you? Physically, listen to this. Physically, in physical labor, does your boss make profit off of you? Last I heard, and a couple of you businessmen could help me with this, the last I heard, he did not start his business just to give you a paycheck. I think every business out there was started to make the boss money. And if all he does through your labor is make enough to pay you, then you are unnecessary. Your boss ought to be making money off of you. You know, are you paying your way? So, well, what do I care? And that's the problem. We could fix the economy in America if every boss got 8 hours work for 8 hours pay.
Yes, sir.
The average boss says you're lucky if you get half that. Stand around, talk, wait for somebody to hold your hand, baby you to get your work done, listen to you whine, watch you show up late, want to go home early, want 4 hour lunch break. My sermons go across America. People will log on the internet tonight. They'll want to listen to this sermon. So, to every person, on every church staff, all across America that listen to this sermon, you better work hard and earn your own way. Don't you dare take the tithes and the offerings of God's people in your income and be lazy. Show up to work on time, work hard, be productive, and you make sure that somehow in God's economy the church is making money off of you. They're not just breaking even. I believe church employees are to pay their way. Those of you that are grown adults and you're living at home with your parents, are you paying your way? Got to pay your way. Mom and Dad shouldn't support you for the rest of your life. You say, did my mom tell you to say that? Well, even if she did, doesn't matter, it's true. Or are you a mooch? Emotionally, listen to this. Does it not bother you if somebody has to carry you? You know, I tell you something. I've always had a difficult time when I go out to eat with my friends or something like that. I have a difficult time when somebody wants to pick up the bill and pay for mine. Now, I have friends that do that for me, and they are very gracious for doing so, and I'm thankful. But can I tell you something? I don't mind paying my own way. Men used to fight at the table over the bill on who's going to pay. Now we just try to hide to make sure the other guy does it. Any of you gray hairs out there, you remember when men used to be like that? Everybody wasn't looking for a free ride. Now listen, you love me and I'll let you take me out and pay for it. That's okay. We're not. And I'm not talking about anybody or anything. I'm just telling you, boy, when I grew up, I watched my dad. My dad fought for the bill. To this day, one of my kids recently went to visit their grandpa, and one of them said, I got him, Dad. I got him. I got the bill. I paid for it. He said a few days later, I got an envelope in the mail with the money in it. Does it not bother you if somebody else has to carry you? Emotionally, let me ask you this. We're talking about laziness here. Is your marriage making it because somebody else is working hard at it emotionally and putting up with you? But you're emotionally lazy. You're mentally lazy. You're not the true contributor. Are you having a good marriage because of the other person, but you get to enjoy it? That means somebody's carrying you. You're not carrying your weight in the marriage emotionally. Hey, do you get along with somebody at work, but it's because of them, not because of you? Hey, how about this church staff? Well, I just love working around here. Yeah, but do we all have to avoid you all the time and try to figure out how to get along with you to have peace? It's just a pleasant place to work. It's not pleasant for us. We work at making it pleasant for you and with you. But you're hard to deal with. Is that you? Hey, is there somebody here in the church you think they're very pleasant people and, hey, they're just wonderful, but I wonder who it is that's doing the emotional contribution. Who's really making that possible? Does it bother you that others have to carry you emotionally? Do others have to carry you spiritually? Do others have to carry you? Hey, let's take the spiritual aspect. to whatever degree you're contributing to the growth of this church, wonder if everybody did what you do. You know, for some of you, if this church was in personality what you are, you'd leave it.
I would not be a part of that. I want a church where everybody just sits around.
Somebody carrying you? Signs of laziness. Is tomorrow the best time for you to do your responsibilities? Do you have a lot of unfinished tasks? Are you tired all the time? Does it bother you when someone has to carry you? Next, are your possessions well cared for? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 through 34 says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Here somebody got lazy, and what they own is falling apart. Folks, keep your house in good repair. Keep your car in good repair. Take care of your tools. Those of you that work in this bus ministry, take good care of your bus. Take good care of your Sunday school class. Sometimes some of you just show laziness. You go to Sunday school, you have Sunday school, you walk out of there, and the whole room's in shambles. It's just in shambles. That's laziness. Let's take care of Martinsburg Christian Academy. Lazy people do not take care of their belongings. Young people, how do you treat your room at home? Are you lazy? What's your locker look like? Do you take care of your clothes? Do you have a filing system for your clothes at the foot of your bed? On the floor? Let's take care of what God gives us. Hey, emotionally, what has God given you? He gave you a new heart. What have you done with it? He gave you a clean slate of forgiveness. Have you dirtied it? He gave you a Holy Spirit. Do you reject Him? You know, God may give us more if we weren't so lazy about how we take care of what He's given us. We started this by talking about someone whose home decayeth. I can't tell you how many people I have watched purchase brand new homes, and in a matter of a few years, everything in it doesn't work. It's tore up. It's broken. They just don't care. Laziness. Hey, do lazy people are good at making excuses for laziness? Proverbs 26, verse 13 through 16, it says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Lazy person says, I can't work outdoors. A lion could get me. I'll get a job when the right one comes along. Well, there are no jobs where you don't have to work. So if that's the right one, I'm sorry. It's never going to come along. Spiritually, do you work hard? What's your excuse? Do you work hard for God? Or do you have an excuse? Do you have an excuse why you don't work hard at work physically? Do you have an excuse why you don't work hard for God? Emotionally, are you working hard to conquer your bitterness? Are you working hard to conquer your rage? Are you working hard to conquer your depression? Are you working hard to conquer your hate, your negative attitude? Or do you have an excuse as to why not now? Just put that off. Not now. Do you have an excuse for it? One sign of being lazy is making excuses for all of your lack. Number 7, do you see hard workers as abnormal people? You just scared to death of getting the disease called workaholic. Don't worry. I doubt that you'll end up with it. Here's what you do. You criticize the physical, what we call workaholic, but you're an emotional welfare case. You criticize someone who is physically a hard worker, but you are spiritually unemployed. You know, very few people in life have worked themselves to death. Listen to this.
You work too hard, you'll go to the grave.
We're all going to the grave. More people die from laziness than from overworking. Guarantee it. Just check and see. One of the number one killers in America is heart disease because of overweight people. Very few people work themselves to death. More people will die because of spiritual laziness than spiritual hard work. Think of all the people that spiritually are not right with God, maybe out drinking, doing dope. They're going to die from immoralities. They'll die from that. People, you don't find a bunch of people that die in the church because they worked on a bus route hard. Die in the church because they spent too much time with their Sunday school class. They die because they don't. More people die from not working hard than from working hard. More people die from being emotionally lazy than emotionally aggressive. I mean, people will depress themselves into a coma, rot their brains out on drugs that a psychologist gives them. They're the ones that commit suicide. They're the ones that give up on life. They're the ones that lay around in dark rooms all the time. Don't be lazy emotionally. Don't be lazy spiritually. Don't be lazy physically. Do you see hard workers as abnormal people?
Oh, that guy, he's nuts.
He's probably happy. His food tastes better to him. Hard working men love to eat. They sure do. Some of you ladies that can't cook, you better just marry a hard worker. He will never know. He'll eat the wrapper and all and love you for it. Hey, lazy people are not usually the kind of people that reach their goals. Constantly not reaching goals. So here's what you do. If you're constantly not reaching your goals, either reevaluate your goal setting or reevaluate your work ethic. Let me tell you something, folks. Anybody can set a goal because talk is cheap. Reach your goals. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me. You ever heard that verse, the proof's in the pudding? You ever heard that verse, put up or shut up? Oh, I'm going to conquer the world. Teenage, you better conquer your bedroom. Reach your physical goals in your labor. Reach your spiritual goals. Reach your emotional goals. And don't quit until you do. Lazy people have a tendency to talk a lot about their goals, but they never reach their goals. Hey, or maybe you just don't set any goals. I'd rather you set a goal and not reach it than have no goals at all. Set some goals in regard to your physical work. Set some goals in regard to your spiritual work. Set some goals in regard to your emotional situation. Win that person over. Control your mind. Love your enemy. See, there's more than just physical laziness. There's spiritual laziness. There's emotional or mental laziness. And we need not be lazy. If in your spirituality you could build a house, is your spiritual house decayed? Is it not cared for properly? Is your physical home not cared for properly? If your mind and your emotions were a structure, what would yours look like? Would it be rotten? Have big gaping holes? Would it be unstained or unpainted wood that's rotten and moldy? Because of what? Well, the Bible says, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Let's be careful that we're not lazy. Let's let it be said of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, as we spread ourselves all over this 3 or 4 state area, let's let it be said, the best workers in this place come from that church right down there on Highway 11. Let's not only let it be said that those are the hardest physical labors, let's let it be said those people work hard spiritually.
Amen.
And then let it also be said, they are also hard workers at controlling their emotions properly. Don't be lazy. If you're here tonight, salvation was earned for you. If you're not saved, somebody worked very hard to give you salvation. It's a free gift to you. But Jesus worked very hard to make it available to you. I recommend you accept that free gift and you get born again. And then, I ought to tell you, after you get saved, the work begins. Because we have to do it? No, because anybody that would save your soul from hell and put everything into it he did, we ought to want to do it for him. We ought to want to work for him. We are not forced to labor. We're given the privilege and opportunity to labor out of love. It's called a labor of love. But we ought to love him enough to serve him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. In a moment, we'll have an altar call. The choir will begin to sing. We'll stand. The instruments will begin to play. At that altar call, the men on this platform will leave their places. They'll step down to the lower floor and post themselves at the front of each aisle. If you're not saved, you just leave your seat, walk toward the front, walk up to one of these men and say, I want to be born again. And we'll show you how to be saved. If you're here this evening and you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come? If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you present yourself for baptism tonight? Maybe you just need to come and deal with some laziness. Physical, maybe. Spiritual, sure. Emotional, absolutely. Maybe you just need this altar. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Laziness. You're a procrastinator. Always unfinished projects. Tired all the time, but you don't work. It doesn't bother you if somebody else carries you. Your possessions are not cared for well. You're good at making up excuses as to why you don't work. Those real hard workers are abnormal. There's a disease. They're workaholic. They're hooked. You set goals, but you don't reach them, or you don't set goals at all. If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. Some of you students that go to school, work at your grades. Shut the stupid television off. Shut your computer games off and study. You can pass if you study. Some of you men that have been at the bottom of the totem pole for 25 years where you work, won't you kick it in gear? Won't you get you a raise? Lazy.
Don't you wake up tomorrow morning, look around the house and everything that needs to be done, go lay on the couch all day and whine about all the work you have to do? Do it! I promise you, you will apply what you've been taught tonight. You'll be a happier person. You have a better home, you have a better life, you have a better attitude about yourself and other people. We're all guilty of some of this. Some are guilty of a lot of it. Time for the song of the choir. Those of you that work in the baptistry, it seems like I need to remind you often, let's get ready for baptism every single service. Let's just expect somebody to get saved and baptized. I know the Lord will appreciate that.